A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Sparks shoot out of a radio transmitter atop the revolving Earth. An RKO radio picture. Now a black and white film. Titles appear above a stormy seascape. Jerry Wald and Norman Krasna present Barbara Stanwyck as May Doyle D'Amato. With Paul Douglas, Robert Ryan, and Marilyn Monroe as Peggy. The ocean waves crest higher and splash a beach with foam. A title appears in block letters which fill our view, Clash by Night. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Robin Sitton and Christina Faust. Read by Wendy Sacchichini. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Titles continue. Distributed by RKO Radio Pictures Incorporated. With J. Carol Nash and Silvio Minciotti. And introducing Keith Andes. Screenplay by Alfred Hayes. Based on the stage play Clash by Night, written by Clifford Odets and produced by Billy Rose. Music by Roy Webb. Copyright 1952, Wald Krasna Productions Incorporated. Produced by Harriet Parsons. Directed by Fritz Lang. Now, morning sunlight glares against the calm ocean. Seagulls and pelicans perch on the wooden pilings of a fish pump, a pipeline for carrying fish to shore. Sea lions sun themselves on its deck. On shore, the buildings of a cannery complex stand in shadow, their rooftops lined with roosting birds. At sea, fishing boats knife smoothly through the deep water. The gulls atop the cannery suddenly take flight. The sea lions dive from the fish pump into the water. Their sleek bodies arch gracefully, raising wakes behind them. A flock of seagulls surrounds the incoming trawlers. On board one boat, a tanned young man in his 20s with a high brush of hair steps from the cabin with a coffee cup. He brings it to a stocky middle-aged man who steers. Their boat rides low in the water as they head toward land. Now a pretty blonde woman turns on her bedside lamp and glances sleepily at her alarm clock, which reads 4:30. Yawning, she sits up and pulls on a pair of dungarees. Outside, women report to work at the San Xavier Fish Packing Company, wearing oversized jeans and work shirts. Some older women wear long skirts and headscarves. Now on the boat, the stocky fisherman grips the wheel with both hands and keenly gazes at a fish pump in the water ahead. He brings the trawler up alongside it, then climbs down to the deck wearing waders and a tight wool cap.
Okay, boys, let's get her unloaded. Sooner the quicker.
His crew pulls a tarp off the boat's hatch, uncovering a hold brimming with thousands of slender fish. Gulls and sea lions gather eagerly around the boat. A bucket-shaped net scoops up a 6-foot load of the shiny sardines, and two fishermen guide it out over the wooden pump. As the bottom of the net opens, the load tumbles down a chute into the bathtub-sized pump. Nearby, other crews unload their boats into other pumps. Seagulls swarm around a trawler named City of Monterey. On shore, smoke billows from the cannery chimneys. Sardines gush out of a fish pump, then ride a conveyor belt up a steep rise into the cannery. Inside, they travel over more belts until they arrive at a sorting line. Women in rubber gloves and heavy aprons lay the fish in a uniform row as the belt passes beneath their hands. The young blonde woman tosses aside an undersized fish. On the canning line, women sit on high wooden stools and pack sardines into oval tins. Empty tins slide down metal tracks from an upper level in the high-ceilinged building. Now, as a passenger train chugs past the harbor, a woman carries a suitcase down a boardwalk. At the end of the long walkway, she shifts the heavy case to her other hand. A waterfront restaurant called Angelo's stands on the corner. Hand-printed signs advertise pizza and seafood. The woman pauses, then pushes inside with her suitcase and sits at the bar.
Go to cannery, go to farm, go to picking grape. Everywhere I go, boss says no.
An old man holds an accordion.
Jerry is gonna be mad when he come off his boat and find you here.
So he's a mad.
Old man ought to sleep late in the morning.
He's a hold 68. He's a hold 68, no good for work no more.
The bartender turns his attention to the woman.
Coffee and a brandy.
Better make it whiskey, lady.
She lights a cigarette as the bartender fills a coffee cup. Outside, the burly boat skipper looks in the curtained windows. Shaking his head, he comes in and marches toward the old man.
I thought when I heard the music it was you. Now, come on home, Papa. Let's go home.
Oh, home.
No, no, no.
Oh, what's a home? A sit thinking. No wife, no music. It's nothing home.
Why don't you take up golf, Pop?
Why don't you shut up? Now, come on home, Papa, and don't make no trouble.
Papa bumps the woman at the bar.
Now, look what you did.
Oh, excuse. It's a mistake.
Oh, you're always making mistakes. Yeah. I'm sorry, miss. If you'd stay home like I told you, nothing would happen.
The skipper stares hard at the woman. He brightens.
Hey, ain't you May Doyle?
She glances over.
Yes.
Papa, you remember May Doyle, Joe's sister. I guess you don't remember me, huh, May?
May drags from her cigarette.
I don't remember a lot of things.
Guess I took on a little beef. Jerry the Mile. Joe works on my boat.
She tosses back a drink.
In the morning?
Only when I have a cold. How much?
Dollar even.
You're coming home to stay?
For a while.
There ain't nothing like home, is it?
That's what they say.
As she pushes past them, a man in a grimy captain's hat runs up to Jerry.
Nephew, so help me, I didn't have my eyes closed a second when he's out of the house like that.
All right, Uncle
Sneaked
Vince.
Off when I'm trying to get a few winks. I'm so
I
worn
know,
out.
I know, I know.
All worn out, taking care of him while you're on the boat. I said to myself my nephew'd be hopping mad.
Blame me as usual if the old gent gets tanked.
As the bartender turns his back, Uncle Vince stuffs pretzels from a bowl into his already bulging pockets. Tipping his hat to the bartender, he hurries out on bandy sea legs. Later, May strides in high heels through a weedy lot and waits as a smoking freight engine passes by. Hitching up her grip on the suitcase, she steps over the track ties. Later, her feet plodding wearily, she reaches a house elevated above the sidewalk by a few porch steps. A spindly plant in a coffee can sits on the railing. Deer antlers decorate the clapboard siding above the front porch light. May is in her 40s, with short hair which frames her face with tight waves. Climbing the high steps, she rings the doorbell and stretches her back. She tries to look through the curtains of a front window, then spots the welcome mat in front of the door. Flipping it over, she finds nothing. Now, on the cannery row, the pretty blonde munches a candy bar as she leaves work. The tanned fisherman, Joe, waits for her outside. Squinting in the bright sun, she offers him a bite.
I thought you weren't going to eat any more chocolate.
He looks at her backside.
You'll spread.
So spread.
He pinches her.
Don't, Joe.
Why not?
I feel icky.
Her cheek bulges with candy.
Mr. Hoven went in the warehouse today.
Now, two of the girls curled up asleep in this act.
Did he holler?
Murder.
Well, when a man pays your day's wages, you owe him a day's work.
Irene gave me to work with a black eye. That fella she married in San Jose when she's working the fruit canners came down last night. Wanted her to go back upstate and live with him again. And when she wouldn't, he just beat her up awful. You should see her eye.
Well, he's her husband.
So what? I suppose you'd beat me up, too, if I was your wife.
Sure, regular.
Let me see you try. Just let me see any man try.
What would you do? Scratch my eyes out?
Just try it. You'll find out.
He fakes a slap and she swings back.
Tough, ain't you?
She pulls him into a clench and bites his ear.
Let go of me!
Sure. Ouch!
When I want you to kiss me, I'll let you know. By special messenger.
She hooks her thumbs in her jeans.
Aren't you going to welcome me home, Joe?
May smokes on the porch at the end of the row. Joe's sunburned forehead creases.
Welcome home.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
10 years.
May looks around from her high view.
Can 10 years go that fast?
She throws her cigarette from the porch.
House looks nice. She looks nice, too.
Peggy, my sister May.
Hi. Funny coming home and finding the door locked, not having a key to it anymore.
Joe unlocks the door to a dim front room where a deer's head hangs over a wood-burning stove. Two rifles adorn a wall. May sets down her suitcase and purse.
I remember the house is bigger. But it isn't very big, is it?
It's big enough.
Is there any coffee? May must be tired.
On the stove.
Peggy socks him as she walks into the kitchen. Catching May's eye, she nods reassuringly. Joe watches May take off her coat.
Why didn't you come home before?
Why didn't I go to China? Some things you do, some things you don't.
The way you wrote, I thought you'd come back rich. Where's it parked?
What?
The big car with a chauffeur and a rich husband.
There isn't any car, there isn't any husband. Rich, poor, indifferent.
Ain't that what you left town for?
I left town because I... Left town? What do you want, Joe? My life's history? Here it is in 4 words. Big ideas, small results.
And the guy you wrote Ma you were going to marry.
She fingers a lighter.
I neglected to write that he was already married. Does it sound sordid? All right, it sounds sordid. He died, left me some money, but they took it to court. His wife, his brothers. I almost drowned in outraged relatives. May Doyle, 10 years later.
Joe glares at her as she paces.
It's your life.
Yes, that's what's so funny. It's really mine. Well, do I go or stay?
His fierce gaze flicks away, then back at her. Softening, he smiles.
It's your house, too. You can use Ma's old room.
May, I'll help you unpack.
Peggy picks up the suitcase.
You watch the coffee. Come on.
They enter a large room and May opens the case on the bed's bare mattress.
Joe said you lived in New York.
For a while.
I don't think I'd like New York.
What?
I don't know. I'd be scared.
She sniffs a bottle of May's perfume.
Nice. Did you get this in New York?
No, a drugstore in Kansas City. How old are you, Peg?
20.
20. The age of miracles.
Here's your coffee, May.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Do you want anything?
A Cadillac.
She sticks out her tongue.
You know what I'd really like? A trailer. Just go over the whole country seeing places.
Where would you bring up the kids? In the back seat?
Who said I'd have kids?
You'd have kids.
Yeah.
Peggy chases him out, then lies across the bed.
Joe wants me to marry him.
I gathered that.
But I hate people bossing me. You marry a fellow, the first thing he does is boss you. He can be real sweet sometimes. But I don't want to have to keep working in a cannery if I got married.
Does Joe want you to work?
You know, fellas, they say a lot of things.
But wait till there's a bad catch and money's short. I'd go right back in the cannery. I'd be stuck. Good.
You're very pretty, Peggy.
And the boys whistle a lot. I'm real glad you came back home, May.
May busies herself hanging up her clothes.
Are you?
She picks up her coffee.
Am I what?
Glad you're home.
Home is where you come when you run out of places.
She drops a lit cigarette into the cup. Later on the dock, Jerry D'Amato's crew repairs fishing nets.
I sure was surprised when I walked into Angelo's and there your sister was sitting at the bar. What's she gonna do now she's home?
I don't know. You got some twine?
Bison! Philo!
Someone tosses over the twine.
Bet she goes out a lot.
Out?
You know, nightclubs, theaters, stuff like that.
She does all right.
Sure. Why shouldn't she? Swell-looking girl like me.
Then why don't you ask her out?
Me?
Why not you?
Oh, I wouldn't be any fun for a swell-looking girl like me. She's used to nightclubs.
Nightclubs? She ain't been out of the house in 2 weeks.
Joe's chest and arms bulge beneath his T-shirt as he weaves the twine through the nets. Now in town, Uncle Vince waddles down the sidewalk, his arms loaded with bottles of beer. A stocky man, he wears rumpled clothes and white dress shoes. A kid charges toward him, rolling an old car tire. They collide, and Vince drops a beer. He kicks at another kid, then jogs into Jerry's house, tightly clutching the remaining bottles. In the kitchen, Papa D'Amato sits at the table and squeezes faint notes out of his accordion. A checker game sits in front of him. Vince puts the beers in the refrigerator.
What are you sitting in the house with your hat on? Crazy old gent sitting in the house with a hat on.
No important hat. It's what under the hat that makes you worry.
Well, you got to worry about sun support, you don't he?
Uncapping a bottle, he looks suspiciously over Papa's shoulder.
Didn't move any of them checkers while I was out getting a beer, did you?
Last night, under the bridge, they found the little baby 4 days, 5 days old.
Nobody wants kids. They clutter up the house.
Jerry comes in wearing a suit and tie. He points at the refrigerator.
I told you to close the icebox. You burn the bulb out. Where'd all the beer come from?
Schneider's.
I thought I told you to stop charging stuff.
Well, you're rich. You'll never miss it.
I ain't rich.
The old men return to their game.
A little baby. 4 days, 5 days old.
What's the matter with Papa?
Vince taps his own head.
They found a dead baby under the bridge. He's worried about it.
People believe in nothing. Nothing.
I know, Papa. It's a sad story.
Checking his reflection in a wall mirror, Jerry adjusts his necktie.
My nephew's going out?
To a movie.
Propping up his shoe, he unfolds a polishing cloth.
With who, may I ask?
May Doyle, that's who.
Women. I never married, you know why? We spoil women in this country. Too much education, too much free speech. Suppose I've got to sit in with the old gent while you're out spending money with this May Doyle?
My money, ain't it, Uncle Vince?
Right throat in my face. I live off you.
I didn't mean that, Uncle Vince.
Just say the word. I'll sleep in the gutter.
Nobody said anything about you sleeping in the gutter. All I said was close the icebox door.
You'll move, old-timer.
And I told you 100 times, clean up your room. It's filthy. And take down them dirty pictures you got hanging up.
Pictures?
Them women with no clothes.
Is your son by any chance referring to my art collection?
Art? You better take them down, that's all. Night, Papa.
Good night.
Papa waves him away.
And you too. Fine brother-in-law. Ignorant man, don't know English, can't read or write. It's my own fault letting my sister marry beneath her. At least she's better off where she is now.
Vince tips his hat to the ceiling. Now at Joe and May's.
Come in, the door is open.
May sits at her dressing table in a camisole and puts on makeup.
May?
Be ready in a minute.
Jerry stops short in her doorway, then turns his back and stands in the front room.
I bet Joe's glad you're home. The place looks swell.
I fixed it up a little. So you're a skipper. You own your own boat?
She's a pretty good boat.
Do you like being a fisherman?
Like it? I don't know. It's what I do. What Papa did, even in the old country.
Sicily?
Yeah, he's from around Augusta. It's on the sea. Papa's family, they all went out in boats. Fishing up here used to be a lot easier in the old days, Papa says. Seas was full of fish. You could go out of the harbor 2-3 miles, make a set, haul in 150, 200 ton of sardines. I guess everything was a lot easier in the old days, huh, May?
Well, we like to think so.
Gee, May, you look swell.
Well, I'm not sure what looking swell means.
You know, May, you look kind of beautiful.
Thanks. I wish I felt kind of beautiful.
Well, why shouldn't you?
Oh, moods, they come and go. Ignore them.
Earl's like that, too.
Earl's like what, too?
Well, that way. The blues, all of a sudden.
Aren't you ever blue?
I get mad.
No, that's not the same thing. Maybe it's because you're so big. I knew another big man once. He didn't suffer from moods either. I'm glad you asked me to go to the movies.
Jerry smiles bashfully.
Really, May?
Really.
I got cold feet. Joe had to ask for me.
Well, the next time you get warm feet and ask me yourself.
Earl will be glad to meet you, I bet. We'll go up and see him after the show.
Earl, who is this magical gent you keep talking about?
Earl? He's one of the smartest men I know. He's in the movie business.
An actor?
No, but I bet Earl could be if he wanted to. He works at the Bijou Theater in a projection booth.
That's your idea of being in the movie business?
Well, running movies. What other business would you call it?
Later in the theater, Jerry munches popcorn and intently watches the screen.
This is where we came in.
Jerry unfolds his large frame from the seat and shuffles out of the row, still watching the film. As May steps into the lobby, she slips a cigarette between her lips and lights it. A man walks by with a film can.
You can't smoke here, lady.
We're looking for Earl Pfeiffer.
Oh, he's in the booth. I'll take it, lady.
Thank you.
She gives him her cigarette and waits as Jerry peers into a room of film projectors.
Oh, hi, Earl. Okay to come in?
Sure, Jerry, sure.
It's all right, May. Come on in.
Earl changes a film reel. In his 40s, he wears khakis and a loud patterned shirt.
Hey, this is Earl Pfeiffer, and this is May Doyle.
My pleasure, Miss Doyle.
Jerry talked to you.
Sure he didn't find anything good to say about me, did he?
You never can tell.
Sit down, relax. I'll be out of this submarine in 2 shakes.
May looks over his trim frame, wavy hair, and smiling eyes.
Like the show?
He's beautiful.
Oh, that celluloid angel you just saw? Gotta cut her up a little bit. She looked more interesting.
Jerry frowns.
Cut her up?
Didn't you ever want to cut up a beautiful dame?
No.
Jeremiah, you're a simple man. Don't mind me, Miss Doyle. I'm a chatterbug.
Earl knows some of the movie stars in prison.
Handle them all day.
The other projectionist returns.
All right. Yeah. It's your night to wrap up.
Yeah, I know.
Let's get out of this sweat box. I need a drink. What do you need, Miss Doyle?
Well, let's say a drink.
Later, they sit in a restaurant booth. A couple dances beside long tables stacked with chairs.
You think beer has a food value, Miss Doyle?
I couldn't say.
You don't talk much, do you?
Depends.
I could drink beer all night.
Is your wife very pretty?
Who says I have a wife? And who says she's pretty?
Oh, I imagine you're the kind of a man who likes the woman he marries to be pretty.
Were you ever a showgirl?
Ye gods, no.
You look like you could be. My wife's in show business. Burlesque. She eats money. Yesterday from St. Louis, a fast telegram sent some spot cash.
But you must love her to stay married.
I'm a glutton for punishment. You never know what kind of a dame a guy will wind up with. When Jerry said he was bringing somebody to the show tonight, I thought he'd walk in with a fright wing. Needless to say, I was mistaken.
Thanks.
Well, a guy like Jerry deserves the best. A man without a woman is nothing.
Now you're being soft.
Was I being tough before? I was trying to make an impression.
You don't like women, do you?
Take any six of them, my wife included. Throw them up in the air. The one who sticks to the ceiling, I like. Here's to Jeremiah, whose heart's in the right place.
I can't drink to myself, Earl.
Well, then let's drink to me. My heart's in the wrong place. Well, I'm off to my trundle bed. Earl Pfeiffer's not the man he used to be. Take good care of Miss Doyle.
Well, have another beer before you go.
No. Nope.
Don't force him. Mr. Pfeiffer's tired.
Oh, we'll take you home.
Jeremiah, you stay right where you are. I'm sorry I got the jumps tonight. I'm talking to you, but what I'm thinking is, what's my wife doing in St. Louis? Who's she with? Someday I'm going to stick her full of pins just to see if blood runs out.
He throws down some cash.
Miss Doyle, it was my pleasure. Good night, Jeremiah. See you.
So long, Earl.
May exhales a fanning cloud of smoke, then crushes her cigarette.
That wife, she sure leads him a merry chase.
He'd be the same with any woman.
Don't you like him, May?
I don't like his attitude.
About what?
Calling you Jeremiah, it's a way of walking over you, patronizing. Isn't that good?
I don't feel that way about it.
You don't have a mean thought in your head, do you, Jeremy? That's nice, it's comfortable. A man who isn't mean and doesn't hate women.
She squeezes his hand in hers.
Will you get me a fresh one, please?
Sure.
As he takes their beer mugs to the bar, May lights another cigarette. She stares distantly as she inhales and flicks another flame from the lighter. Another day, May unpins laundry from clotheslines.
May!
Peggy wears a gown.
Your dress is going to fit me perfectly.
Good.
She twirls the shiny black skirt around her hips.
You like dancing?
When I'm in the mood.
I love dancing. When I'm dancing, I just kind of forget myself.
She twirls again, then leans on a clothesline.
Does Jerry ever get jealous when you dance close with a fellow?
I haven't asked him.
All Jerry needs is somebody to look after him.
I'm tired of looking after men. I want to be looked after.
Weren't you ever in love, May?
Once.
Where?
St. Paul. He was big, too, like Jerry. I'll say one thing. He knew how to handle women.
Is that what you want from a man?
Confidence. I want a man to give me confidence. Somebody to fight off the blizzards and the floods. Somebody to beat off the world when it tries to swallow you up. Me and my ideas.
Ducking under the lines, May carries the wicker laundry basket into the house. Later at night, she stands on the bridge of Jerry's boat and stares at the sea.
Last year, we brought in almost 2,500 tons. We split it up 12 ways. It's about $4,000 a share. We caught rock twice, ripped up two nets. Otherwise, we'd have made more.
Honolulu's out there.
Huh?
Honolulu. Far away.
She smiles faintly, then turns away.
I'd like to go down on deck.
Earl invited us out Sunday to the pavilion. Would you like to go?
We've been going out a lot, Jerry.
I know, May. I've been taking up a lot of your time.
My time is not so precious. How is your father?
I wish he'd quit drinking.
May climbs down a steel ladder to the deck.
I guess it must be terrible to get old and lonely.
Yes.
I suppose that's what everyone's afraid of. Getting old and lonely.
I suppose.
She looks over the boat's rail. Jerry hops down after her and sits at the bottom of the ladder. Resting his palms on his thighs, he watches her.
It's funny, though, how they used to fight, him and my mother. Then when she died, he just sat and cried. He's a stubborn old man.
Are you stubborn?
Me? Ain't much of anything.
You shouldn't run yourself down like that, Jerry.
Well, I'm not running myself down. It's just that, well, I wish I was a little like Earl. Did you ever hear Earl imitate Chinese? All I can imitate is a duck. Quack, quack,
oh,
quack.
Oh, Jerry,
quack,
leave quack. The imitations to Earl. He's just kind of an imitation himself.
Turning away, she wanders to the stern, where lines of rigging curl through winches. As she clutches one of the ropes, Jerry sits down on the rail.
I'm real glad you came back home, May.
Why?
I like you, you know that.
You don't know anything about me. What kind of an animal am I? Do I have fangs? Do I purr? What jungle am I from? You don't know a thing about me.
That ain't important.
People have funny things swimming around inside of them. Don't you ever wonder what they are?
Well, maybe, once in a while. I don't like to think about things like that.
Look at me, Jerry. Are you in love with me?
Jerry's eyes shine in the moonlight.
I guess so. I guess I am.
May takes a shallow breath.
I wouldn't make a good wife for you.
That ain't true. You'd make a wonderful wife.
Don't be so sure. I'm one of those women who are never satisfied. But it would be nice married to someone like you. I'd be safe, wouldn't I? A place to rest. And that would be nice. A place to rest.
May I?
I know your arm up to here in a hot fire. It wouldn't work.
Why, ain't
find
true.
Yourself someone who likes pushing a baby carriage and shopping in the market and changing the curtains on the bathroom window. I'd be bad for you, Jerry. Believe me, somehow I'd hurt you.
I don't care.
Oh, care. Don't be so eager to make a mistake. Don't you see what I mean? I'm tired. I'd be tempted to marry someone like you, but it would be all wrong.
No, it wouldn't. May, listen, I ain't smart. I ain't rich. But I'd do anything for you.
Blizzards and the floods. Would you?
Jerry nods tightly. May cracks a wry smile.
No. I'm crazy to even think such a thing. It's wrong.
She walks off abruptly.
Good night, Jerry.
Crossing the deck, May climbs onto the pier. Jerry slumps and looks down, away from May's long striding legs on the boardwalk above him. Another day. At the Pavilion restaurant, Earl sits on an outdoor deck and guzzles beer from a mug. Pinching a cigarette between his thumb and finger, he takes a long drag. On the beach, Joe chases Peggy across the sand. She tilts her head and smacks her temple.
I got water in my ear.
Huh?
I got water in my ear.
Yeah, I'll shake it out.
Joe grabs her ankles and lifts her legs in the air. Peggy tips up into a handstand.
Joe, let go!
Earl watches from the deck with a dull-eyed gaze and runs his tongue around the inside of his mouth. Joe and Peggy pull on jeans over their bathing suits.
Come on, I'll race you back.
Peggy darts up the pavilion steps in her bikini top. She briskly rubs her bare arms.
The water was cold, but it was fun.
Inside the pavilion, couples dance in front of a jukebox. Joe enters, bare-chested, and walks to a table of empty bottles and plates. Men's jackets drape the backs of chairs. Peggy slides into a seat.
I didn't know Jerry could dance.
Jerry, holding May in his arms, waves from the dance floor.
You call that dancing?
Earl empties his beer bottle.
Waiter! Waiter! Excuse me while I shake this dump upside down.
Peggy watches him wide-eyed.
Where'd he get all that energy?
I don't like him.
He's kind of exciting and attractive.
Joe lassoes her neck with a towel.
Earl!
Who?
Joe, you're strangling me!
Who's attractive? Who's exciting?
You.
That's better.
He lets her go, and she punches his jaw. Grinning, he checks his lip for blood. An elderly waiter returns with Earl.
Here you are, son, because you're a good boy.
Thanks, Rusty.
Who drinks beside me? It's too early in the day.
That's where you're wrong.
Never too early.
Joe, will you get my sweater?
She smiles at Earl.
Yeah.
As Joe saunters from the table with a towel wadded in his fist, Earl watches him through narrowed eyes. Peggy gulps from a freshly filled mug.
The fruit in the fruit tree.
What?
When it's ripe, it's juicy. Don't it bother you working at a cannery?
What should I work at?
What does the bee do in the clover? He's busy making honey. Buzz, 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 buzz.
Earl leans in close to her. Jerry leads May by the elbow from the dance floor.
May's some dancer. Me, I'm a hippo on 2 feet.
Yes, my 2 feet.
Ah, the sardine fleet's back.
I feel like a walk.
Peggy skips off eagerly with Joe, who now wears his shirt.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. The little bee is making honey.
Oh, show May your Chinese imitation, huh?
Earl tugs the corners of his eyes. Jerry shakes in his chair. May stares stone-faced, then shrugs and watches Earl under arched eyebrows. Uncle Vince walks in from the bar.
Well, there's my own nephew, I said. Sitting with his friends, I must step up and say hello.
Hello, Uncle Vince. This is May Doyle, Earl Pfeiffer. This is my Uncle Vince.
Always glad to meet my nephew's friends.
Sit down, Uncle. Have a beer. You got nothing else to do.
Nothing to do? I beg your pardon. I've got so much to do, I don't know where to start. As a matter... But I can stand a beer on an afternoon like this.
Miss Doyle. May I have this dance?
Go on, May. Enjoy yourself.
All right.
Maybe I won't bring her back, Jerry.
You will.
Keep that periscope up, Uncle.
Think he's funny? He ain't funny.
Vince leans over the table.
The old gent's here.
What? Papa?
Ducked in the barn.
In the barn?
Jerry hurries to the separate bar. Left alone at the table, Vince pours an unfinished beer into his own mug and drinks it in one gulp. Now on the dance floor with Earl and May.
Can I ask you a foolish question?
You'll get a foolish answer.
You've got Jerry spinning. I can see it a mile off.
Can you?
Jerry's the salt of the earth, but he's not the right seasoning for you.
What kind of seasoning do I need?
You're like me. A dash of Tabasco or the meat tastes flat. Can't see you doing it.
Doing what?
Hanging out the family wash.
He sniffs her hair.
What did you do back east?
Existed.
Okay. I'm offside. I'll ask you one more foolish question. Where did you get those blue eyes?
From my mother.
And the perfume?
From a bottle.
Their gazes lock.
Remind me to refill that bottle. For another nickel, we can have a rumble.
No, thanks. Save your money. Hard times are coming.
At their table, the waiter lights a candle.
I wonder where Jerry went. Sun is going down.
The waiter stacks their bottles and glasses.
Waiter, how about something potent like a couple of shots of bourbon?
Okay, mister.
May watches the sunset through a picture window.
You know, they used to call me the kingfish of Buckman County. I had zip, class, pep, and future. But that was far away and long ago.
Why talk like that? You're still young.
Ah, just a barge floating down the river. Who cares where I go or what I do?
Is your wife back?
Why bring up an unpleasant subject?
Just curious.
She's in Pittsburgh on tour. Were you ever in Pittsburgh?
No.
Well, she's in Pittsburgh. Make me slightly super happy if she stayed in Pittsburgh. I thought I told you 4.
You said a couple.
Well, how much is a couple?
To me, 3.
May smirks and fiddles with her cigarette pack.
Drowning my sorrow.
Earl toasts with his glass, then bolts down the whiskey shot.
Do you drink?
May tosses hers back and eyes him flatly.
Where did you learn that?
In Pittsburgh. I want to look at the ocean.
She takes her cigarette pack and lighter with her to the outside deck.
And when I hear you call so softly to me.
Taking the third shot, Earl follows her out.
I don't hear a call at all.
May leans against a lamppost and watches the tide. Her shoulders gently sway with the music.
What are you thinking about?
That music. I used to sell sheet music at a dime store, and they played that.
It's soft through the starlit sky. I hear a rhapsody.
Inside, Jerry returns from the bar. Noticing 2 empty glasses on the table, he looks over the dancing couples, then strides out to the deck.
Papa's here and he don't want to go home. He's got some fellow at the bar loading him up with booze.
When he pauses, we'll pick him up. Relax.
I don't want no whiskey. You drinking, May?
What if I am?
Well, all
if I want to drink whiskey, I'll drink it.
She downs the shot.
That'll teach you, Jeremiah. Never ask a lady personal questions.
Shut up!
Jerry stomps off.
He drives me cuckoo sometimes. What does he think I am, Red Riding Hood?
Get mad. Get hot. Good for what ails you.
Aren't there any more comfortable men in this world? Now they're all little and nervous like sparrows or big and worried like sick bears. Men.
Women.
If I ever loved a man again, I'd bear anything. He could have my teeth for watch fobs.
Pearl lights two cigarettes.
That's the liquor talking.
Two tiny slugs.
He hands her one of the cigarettes from his mouth.
Who was he?
Eyeing him, she tosses it over her shoulder.
Santa Claus.
She brings out her own pack.
Does Jerry know?
I'm not married to Jerry.
As she works a cigarette out of the package, her gaze drifts.
He was a politician on you. He died. I felt as if my own life had stopped. I didn't think I'd ever feel anything again. Where could I go? Home.
Earl squints at her, his cigarette steady between his lips.
But you forget, you even begin to hope again. One thing I know. He was a man who didn't tear a woman down. He made her feel confident.
Confident?
Sure of herself, more than she was, not less. The only man I ever knew who gave me that feeling.
Which makes me what?
A sparrow in a treetop.
I never had any complaints.
You're crude, Earl.
I never claimed a polish. How confident could I make you feel?
Last time I looked, you had a wife.
Next time you look, maybe I won't.
That's what they all said.
May, what do you really think of me?
You impress me as a man who needs a new suit of clothes or a new love affair. But he doesn't know which.
Earl backs away from her sneer.
Can't make me any smaller. I happen to be pre-shrunk. You want another drink?
No.
You're tough to please.
I pick and I choose, my privilege.
That politician. That was a smart pick.
He grabs the back of her neck.
Don't kid me, baby. I know a bottle by the label.
She slaps him as he tries to kiss her. He releases her and wipes his cheek with the back of his hand.
Peace on earth.
As he leaves, May stands stiffly on the deck. Earl walks inside with slow, heavy steps. At the table, he lifts his chair and bangs it on the floor. Peggy walks in with a bright smile.
Pop, I'm exhausted. We had a wonderful time.
Did you commune with nature?
That ain't funny. Come on.
I Peggy. Seem to be the only one
Come
around
on,
here
Peggy.
Capable of taking a joke.
Let's call it a day.
Are you bored?
I can't get Papa out of the barn. He's really getting loaded.
I'd like to leave if you don't mind.
The day's young. Let's enjoy ourselves. A few drinks, a dance, a hug. What's wrong with that? Or am I in the wrong pew? Waiter, bring three more stinkies.
Could you let me have a couple dollars, Earl? I ran out.
Here.
He peels two bills from a wad.
Don't take it.
Well, why not, May?
What's the matter? My money got germs? Take it, Jeremiah.
Don't touch that money.
I gotta pay Papa's bar bill.
May curls her lip at Earl.
Big mouth, fast dollar. What are you trying to buy, the world's approval?
On your way, dust.
He waves her off with a sweeping hand. Turning around to the table, Earl counts through his cash, then crumples the whole wad. Later, Jerry walks May home.
Tired?
A headache.
Earl, I don't understand him talking to you like that.
I'm fed up with Earl. His wife, his moods, his money, his everything. He's fine for a ride on a roller coaster, but I'm tired of roller coasters.
Well, Earl just needs...
Earl needs. Good night, Jerry.
Good night. Get something for that headache.
Yeah, a new head.
She looks down from the top of the porch steps.
Jerry, I don't want you to say anything now, but if you still want to marry me, I'd try being the kind of a wife you need. I'd try to make you happy, if you still want me.
But you said on the boat...
I've changed my mind.
Jerry gazes up at her with wonder. Party guests fill the D'Amato's house. In one corner of the room, musicians play while people dance on a closed-in sun porch. Uncle Vince hands out cigars. When a man turns him down, Vince puts the cigar in his pocket beside several others. On a buffet table, gifts surround a 7-tier wedding cake. Vince samples the ornate frosting. In another room, Jerry fills wine glasses with Chianti.
Jerry, my glasses are empty. Just fill them up. Right there.
May appears beside him, wearing a large corsage on her scallop neck dress. Smiling warmly, she shakes hands with some of Jerry's friends. Peggy sits at a table in May's borrowed dress.
Hey, somebody ought to give a toast. Come on, somebody give a toast. I'm going to give a toast.
Earl holds Peggy up as she stumbles drunkenly into another guest.
Hey, somebody ought to make a toast. Come on. Everybody.
She stands on a table.
Hey, you're cockeyed.
Who says I'm cockeyed? I ain't.
She falls on to Joe.
Oh, I'm cockeyed.
Get off that table before you break your neck.
He sweeps her into his arms and carries her out of the room. By the piano, Papa sits with the musicians.
I am going to make a speech.
Papa.
Jerry's face lights up with delight.
Everybody. God, he made enough for fish for everybody, pero
si.
And he made enough for wine for everybody, pero
si.
And he made enough love for everybody, eh? So, fish, wine, love for everybody. Salute.
Salute.
Guests clap the newlyweds on the back as they share a kiss. Earl steps between them.
Well, it's happy forever after.
Congratulations, Jerry.
Oh, thank you. Earl, ain't she wonderful?
She's the one who sticks to the ceiling. I can see you, Jeremiah. Three kids in an oven full of bread.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, I wish you both all the happiness plus. By the way, I ain't kissed the lovely bride yet. Do you mind?
Tensing, she turns her cheek.
How about a dance, Mrs. D'Amato?
Go ahead, May.
I'd love to.
Earl, come on, have a good time. Everybody, have a good
time. Earl yanks the boutonniere from his pinstriped suit. Vince approaches, his mouth streaked with frosting and his pockets full of cigars.
Oh, Pat, have a cigar? Compliments to the house.
Welcome yourself, Uncle.
Earl strolls past him to the enclosed porch where he leans his thin frame against the door. May, folk dancing with her guests, wears a broad, toothy grin as she spins and hops with a partner. Earl passes by the dancers, then through the back door without her notice. Outside, bright paper lanterns outline the house and throw Earl's long shadow behind him on the steep stairs. He wanders down to the sidewalk, his eyes staring blankly at the ground in front of him. Patting his pockets, he finds a cigarette pack. It's empty. Earl throws it to the ground. He walks a few steps, his hands stuffed in his pockets. He stops again and lifts his lean face. His dark eyes glare beneath lowered eyebrows. Overhead, dark clouds cross the full moon. Daytime. May kisses Jerry goodbye at the back door. At sea, fishermen haul net loads of sardines into fish pumps. Conveyor belts carry fresh fish into the cannery. Later, a storm batters the ocean. In the marina, a man oars a rowboat to shore. In winter, ice coats a trawler's rigging. Thunderheads drift away, revealing a high, bright sun. Later, inside the boardwalk restaurant, Angelo's.
You must have lost 10 pounds in 4 weeks.
Joe here goes to the hospital with me. Take it easy, Jerry. He says, take it easy. You ain't the first guy to have a kid. There have been other fathers before.
Can I give him a cigar? He can't smoke it. I give him a drink, he gets sick.
They sympathetic. That's right, sympathetic. May can't eat, I can't eat. She gets a pain, I get a pain. And all the time, I keep wishing she had some of this beef of mine. If it had gone on one more day, I'd have had the baby myself.
Outside, Vince peers in the window, then dashes in. He squirms through a crowd of fishermen to Jerry, who gulps down a beer.
Morning, nephew.
Oh, Uncle Vince, how you been?
Ask a certain nephew of mine's wife. And how's the little baby?
Wonderful.
Feed her, keep her warm.
Well, sure.
Don't worry about who keeps your uncle warm, do you, nephew? Don't worry about who feeds him, huh? My own sister's son.
Why don't you go to work?
Sure, why don't I get married, live in a lap of luxury? Why not? Who came into the house and kicked me out? Who was the heartless woman drove your closest relative out into the night?
All May said was take down them dirty pictures and you wouldn't.
All May said. Never thought I'd live to see the day a woman could lead my own sister's son around by the nose.
Cut it out, Uncle Vince.
Around by the nose, yes, sir. No self-respect. Always said women and horses use the whip on them. Can't spare a few dollars, can you, nephew?
Whoa. Jerry takes out some bills.
Couldn't call it a fortune, could you, nephew?
All right, Uncle Vince. I gotta go. I'll see you later, huh, yeah. Fellas?
Thank you. Goodbye, Jerry.
There he goes. Pot of familias. No manhood left.
Later at home, Papa D'Amato sits beside a baby's wicker bassinet and plays his accordion. Light falls across his face as the bedroom door opens. Jerry enters and reaches into the cradle, showing a deep circle of sweat in the armpit of his tight T-shirt.
Why don't you turn on the lights?
Too much flies.
Gloria, darling. I think I take Gloria. That's a sweetie. Oh, you're such a doll.
Jerry rests his daughter on his shoulder and softly kisses her head. The infant, only a few weeks old, sucks on her fingers and stares wide-eyed over her father's shoulder as he carries her through the house to the porch. Moonlight streams in through the windows.
Look. There it is, darling. The moon's coming up. Isn't it beautiful?
He props her up in his arms.
Couldn't pay no admission price nowhere for a sight like that.
Don't smother her with kisses.
May comes out.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I was just showing Gloria the moon.
I'll put her back in the crib.
Jerry smiles tenderly at the baby as May takes her and goes inside.
Ain't she too hot, May? Look at her sweating. Maybe she's sick.
She isn't sick. She's a normal baby and babies sweat.
Wearing a full slip, May carries the baby into the moonlit bedroom and lays her in the bassinet.
Earl says Chinese people have babies right in the field.
Well, I might try that the next time.
You want a beer?
No, thanks.
Wiping his arm across his sweaty forehead, Jerry goes into the kitchen. He takes a bottle from the small refrigerator and opens it.
He's coming up tonight.
Who?
Earl.
In another room, Papa waves a fan.
Keep cool, Papa.
Oh, it's hot.
What I hear, he's been on a real tear. You know, it's funny how a divorce will affect a guy, even when he wants to get rid of his wife.
Mr. Earl will recover if I know Mr. Earl.
May.
Hmm?
You know what?
Jerry hugs her.
You make me real happy.
I'm glad, Jerry. Oh, it's so hot.
Don't you feel good, honey? Darn if I don't wish I could have had the kid for you.
I feel fine, but it's just so hot.
I'm sorry.
On the porch, May opens the screen door.
Papers say we're due for some cool weather.
Well, the papers ought to know.
Stepping out of the moonlight, she shuts the door and sits in a rocking chair.
You sure you don't want a beer?
Jerry sits beside her in another rocker. May fans herself with a paper.
I don't see why you had to invite anybody here tonight. The house isn't made up, and I feel like...
Don't tell me, Earl. I feel kind of sorry for him. Well, I got you. I got Glory. You know what I mean?
Don't bother about it. It's just that I'm so irritated with the heat. I'll go put something on.
As she leaves the room, Jerry regards her with a smile, then swigs his beer. Jerry frowns and looks out the window. He opens the screen door and steps outside. Below, Earl plods up the stairs, leaning heavily on the railing.
Hi, Earl.
Earl wears a dress shirt and bow tie and clutches his suit jacket in one hand. As he struggles to the top of the steps, Jerry opens the screen door for him. Inside, Earl leans against the rocking chair.
Excuse me. Rest my weary dogs. Sit down, Jeremiah. Relax.
May will be out in a minute. She's dressing.
You don't have to doll up for Earl Pfeiffer. And how's the wonderful baby?
14 pounds, 6 ounces. I weigh her every Tuesday and Friday. She's a Lulu.
Jerry slaps Earl's knee, then gazes at him with a puzzled frown.
Hey, are you sick?
No. Dead and in my grave.
He squints into the house. May emerges.
Ghost.
Don't get up. It's too hot to move.
My pleasure, Mrs. D.
You're drunk.
On 2 tiny quarts. Brought your present. I almost forgot.
What is it?
Vitamins.
Vitamins?
I said to myself, I gotta get Mrs. D a present. What does she need? Vitamins. Run down, your clock losing time. Feel morbid and want to throw yourself in the oven with the rest of the cakes? Take a vitamin.
I'll make a pot of coffee. You need it.
The vitamins drop from Earl's hand. He stares ahead, a cigarette stuck between his parted lips.
My ex. I wish she was run down. All the way down.
He tosses his cigarette onto the floor. Jerry glances cautiously into the house and picks it up.
Divorce is like the other person died. I keep saying she's dead. She's dead. Jeremiah, guard your castle. Your beautiful wife. Your wonderful baby.
He grips Jerry's shoulder, then collapses back into his chair.
Tight.
Glancing around, Jerry gets up and lightly slaps Earl's cheeks. Earl's head tilts back, his mouth hangs open.
Hey, May. He's passed out.
Well, what are you going to do, stand there and admire him? Pick him up and put him to bed.
Jerry takes Earl's limp arm and hoists him onto his back. May watches as he carries Earl into the house.
The kingfish of Buckman County.
She shakes her head and steps back into the kitchen. In the hall, Jerry opens the door to a bedroom and sidesteps in with Earl. May watches. Nighttime. Jerry lies sprawled on his back in bed. Beside him, moonlight brightens crumpled white sheets and a dented pillow. Next to the bed, baby Gloria lies awake in the wicker bassinet. May stands at the window, blowing a thin stream of smoke between her lips. Taking another drag on her cigarette, she stares out at the sea, where waves break against jagged rocks on the shore. Water crashes into a rock and sprays in the air. The sea rushes into a crevice. Now, at the window, soft moonlight washes over the smooth skin of May's face and arms. She draws slowly on her cigarette. Daytime. On the shore, birds perch atop the jagged rock points. At home, Jerry sits in the kitchen reading the paper. May steps in wearing a blouse and skirt.
Little girl drowned yesterday. Here's a picture.
Not this morning, Jerry. This heat. I sprinkled Gloria all over with talcum powder. I wish somebody would sprinkle me all over with talcum powder.
She rubs her neck, then glances toward the spare bedroom.
He's still asleep?
Oh, Earl? Yeah.
Jerry frowns and picks up a fly swatter.
Gotcha. He sure had a skinful last night, didn't he?
May leans against the kitchen screen door and gazes outside.
I better be getting down the boat.
Taking his cap off a hook, Jerry passes his wife at the door.
Aren't you going to kiss me before you go?
You don't like me to kiss you in the morning.
I'd like it this morning.
He wipes his mouth and kisses her lips. Smiling at May, he walks to the porch door and waves. As he leaves, May slumps against the doorframe, her face tightening. Glancing at the door to the spare bedroom, she takes a percolator from the stove and goes to the table. She tries to pour a cup of coffee, fighting back tears. The pot trembles in her hand. Coffee splashes onto the table as she sobs. She grips the front of her blouse, twisting it tight over her stomach. Behind her, the door to the spare bedroom opens, and Earl steps out wearing an undershirt and trousers. May quickly wipes her face and starts to clean up the spill. As Earl paces slowly into the kitchen, they exchange a glance. May looks down at the table and wipes a dish rag around her brimming coffee cup. Behind her at the sink, Earl sticks his head under the faucet and wets his hair. Muscles shape his lean, bare arms. He looks up at May with puffy eyes.
How did I get here?
You passed out. Jerry put you to bed.
Why didn't you let me sleep it off in the gutter?
Yeah, that's right. Why didn't I?
May sits and picks up the paper. Earl dries his face.
You got some black coffee?
On the table. Get a cup.
Tossing a dish towel into the sink, he goes to the cupboard and swings open the door. May sips her coffee as Earl joins her at the table and pours himself some coffee.
What time is it?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock? I thought it was deep in the afternoon.
Jerry just left.
Grimacing, Earl presses his palms to his head.
Aren't they ever going to finish hammering up that post office?
You'll be in great shape for work tonight.
Work? What's that?
Papa lumbers into the kitchen.
Morning, Pop. What are you doing up so bright and early?
Ride to see view.
Maybe I find a work.
Coffee, Papa? Would you like some coffee?
What do you want to work for, Pop? Plant some rose bushes. These are the years of rest.
Papa scowls at Earl.
You don't like work, huh?
That's right. I don't like work.
Papa steps closer and points at his own chest.
I like work.
Earl smiles as the old man leaves.
He'll walk to save the car fare. How people can get.
The old man's all played out. He's living in a dream. How about you?
What about me?
Are you happy?
I'm happy.
No, you're not. You're just like me. You're born and you'd like to get unborn. That's why I drink that shellac, to get unborn.
You need some sleep.
Sleep? I can't sleep. Somebody has to need me, love me. How do people go on this way? Tell me.
The heat's got you.
And Jerry?
What about Jerry?
You wanted a man you could lean on. Confidence. Well?
I don't blame Jerry for what he is. That's my cross.
Are your shoulders strong enough?
Mine are.
Mine aren't. Help me, May.
He holds her.
Help me.
How can I help you?
She shrugs him off.
You wait all your life for the woman you think is right. You give up. You think you'll never find her, that it's a dream up inside your head.
He grips her shoulders.
And then one night, out of nowhere, she walks into your life. And everything flops
no,
over
Earl.
Inside you. May, don't you know I love you? Can't you tell it? Tell me what you want me to be and I'll be it. May, I'm dying of loneliness.
Earl, you wake the baby.
Oh, yes, the baby.
Rushing to her bedroom, May shuts the door and leans against the wall, sobbing. As Earl heads toward the hallway, Peggy bounds up the stairs into the kitchen.
Anybody home?
She freezes and looks Earl over.
A mice. Got any cheese?
Where's May?
Inside with the kids.
He fills a glass with water.
I got slightly tanked last night. Friend Jerry stowed me away to sleep it off. Any more questions, little bee?
Peg, I thought I heard you.
May, look.
A ring.
Isn't it beautiful?
A diamond.
Oh. We had dinner last night, Joe and me. We had a fight, and we were never going to see each other again. At 11 o'clock, Joe came to the house and was going to kick the door down. I never thought I'd like a guy who pushed me around. It's kind of an engagement ring.
Congratulations. I'm glad you put the guy out of his misery.
Since when did you start recommending marriage?
Since I got my divorce.
Joe will make you happy. He knows who he is and what he is. Some of us don't. Always take the man who'll kick the door down. Advice from Mama.
When I was 14, I couldn't wait to get married. I was in a hurry to see the world.
Don't see it too fast, little B.
Well, I gotta go. I just had to show you the ring.
Hey, wait a second. I'll get Gloria dressed and come with you.
I can't, honey. Joe's waiting. Diamonds make me punctual.
Peg!
Beaming, she hurries down the stairs. May turns slowly toward Earl. Straightening her back, she looks at him with a strong, cool gaze.
Well?
Well?
The end of our brief but violent friendship.
Yes, it's the end.
I suppose apologies are in order. Which kind do you prefer?
You're so proud. A moment ago, you needed me more than life. Now you're cruel and sarcastic because you think I've seen you naked for a second.
And you? You're not proud.
What do you want to do, to put your teeth into me, to hurt me?
May, get me
don't
right for once.
Don't touch me.
May, I'll do anything you want.
Get out of here. Go to Madagascar, go any place, but get out of here.
May busies herself at the sink as Earl stares from across the room. Head bowed, he wanders toward the door, then turns sharply. His dark eyes glare at May's trim figure. He paces to the sink and grabs her arm, whipping her around to face him. He kisses her hard as she strains against him. May tries to break free, and they wrestle against the counter. Stopping suddenly, May looks into Earl's eyes. She kisses him. Pressing her body against his, she works her hand into the back of his shirt. Now, on a hill, a statue of a saint looks down at the harbor, filled with fishing boats. On Jerry's boat, Joe strings a line of colored flags. Peggy sits nearby.
Now. Look at it, Joe. Ain't she a beauty?
Yeah.
Gonna be the best-looking boat in the bay when they bless the fleet Sunday. I wish May was here to see how the old tub looks.
Where'd May go?
The amusement park. Earl took her.
Frowning, Joe exchanges a glance with Peggy.
Earl's got a lot of time on his hands lately, ain't he?
Day off.
Peggy glares at Joe.
Why shouldn't May get out of the house now and then?
Hey, Skipper!
Huh?
Better get down to Angelo's fast. Your old man's in a fight.
Papa, in a fight?
Yeah, the whole joint's in an uproar.
At Angelo's, a man holds Papa back as he swings his fists. Jerry arrives and restrains him.
Can't I let you alone for a minute without you doing something crazy? What's he fighting about?
He's a man. I'm having a quiet snifter here when all of a sudden, whang, the old gent starts squealing.
Yeah. My Uncle Vince been in?
In and out.
Okay, I'll take him home.
Ammazzo, brutta bestia.
At home, Jerry tries to put Papa to bed.
Papa, will you please go to sleep?
Papa lies down. As Jerry leaves the room, Uncle Vince creeps up the stairs.
The old gent home?
Why'd you let Papa get into a fight?
Me, I know nothing about it.
What's the matter with you? I don't understand you.
May I?
Yes.
Jerry flicks on the kitchen light.
Man his age. Ain't you got sense?
Well, what about it? I didn't even see him start it. I guess I need glasses.
As Jerry fills a pot at the sink, Uncle Vince takes a sugar bowl from the cupboard. He looks inside it, shrugs, and puts it back.
Couldn't spare a few dollars, could you, nephew?
These ain't the old days, Uncle Vince.
No. Old days was over the minute she moved in this house and threw me out.
Don't blame me.
Jerry puts the pot on the stove and lights a burner. Uncle Vince sidles up behind him.
That Earl Pfeiffer, he knows how to spend a dollar on a friend, don't he? Just spends and spends and don't ask nothing in return, they say.
Earl Pfeiffer's a good friend and we happen to appreciate it.
True, true. Yet a little thing like that makes for gossip, don't it?
Gossip? On what?
I don't care to repeat no gossip. I'm just an old uncle who minds his own business and... But ask your father.
Ask him what?
People talk, don't they? They got long tongues.
Talk? What do they talk about?
Ask your father. He got in a fight, not me.
But ask him what? Now, that's a good one. I go to Papa and I say, what about it, Papa? And then Papa says, what about what? And then I say, what about anything?
Uncle Vince, you're crazy.
You got no cause to laugh on me, you know.
But sometimes you don't make sense.
When your drunken father sobers up, ask him about your wife.
Jerry looks up.
And Mr. Pfeiffer.
Jerry lunges at him. Uncle Vince runs onto the porch, but Jerry catches him and slams him against the wall.
Uncle Vince, you're a big boob. Are you trying to say there's some funny things going on between them? Ain't you ashamed bringing up a thing like that? May never like you, and she's right not to like you, and I'm sick and tired of listening to you. Use your brains. Don't bring up stuff like that.
He steps back.
I don't like to hit no one. I get all sick inside if I have to hit anybody.
He turns back to the stove, clenching and unclenching his fists.
Yeah, but Jerry, I was only going
to tell
you...
Uncle Vince, go away, please. Please go away.
Vince starts to leave.
Ask him, you bully. Ask your own father. See if you sleep tonight.
Jerry chases him out through the sun porch, then watches him run away.
Darn old goat.
He goes back inside. Jerry takes the pot off the stove and sits at the kitchen table. Tearing a piece of bread in half, he dunks it into the pot and eats. Frowning, he glances toward the hall, then shakes his head. His eyes dart. Dropping the bread, he strides into the hall. In his dark room, Papa plays the accordion.
Papa, stop, will you? Papa, please stop. Papa, why were you fighting? What did you say to Uncle Vince?
Vince?
Yes, what did you tell him, Papa? Papa, what did you say to Uncle Vince? Papa, tell me, why were you fighting? Papa, talk to me. What did you say to Uncle Vince?
The old man shakes his head. Jerry gives back the accordion.
All right, Papa.
He affectionately pats the old man's cheek and smooths his thinning white hair. Shutting the door behind him, Jerry leaves and paces into the kitchen. Wearily, he rubs his hand over his face, then glances at an alarm clock sitting atop the stove. 8:20. He picks up the clock and stares at it, then looks to the door. Lost in thought, he sits at the table clutching the clock. The bread and soup sit half-eaten in front of him. Glancing again at the door, he gets up and strides to the bedroom. He steps into the dark room. Turning on a light on the bedside table, he looks over the neatly made double bed, then scans the rest of the tidy room. His view settles on a dresser across the room. He steps toward it. Hesitating a moment, he flings open one of the top drawers. He rifles through the silky contents, shuts it, and moves on to the next. His large hands sort quickly through satiny garments and pat the bottom of a drawer. Pulling open the third drawer, he uncovers a box. Its lid flips open as he sets it down, displaying a perfume bottle. He finds a larger box and takes both to the bed. Frowning, he opens the larger one and pulls out a sexy sheer black nightgown and a creamy satin gown. He glances over his shoulder, then picks up the fancy bottle. Taking out the stopper, he tips it to read the label and spills perfume on the bed. Fumbling, he quickly stoppers the bottle and puts it in its box, then stuffs the nightgowns into the large box. He wipes the bed, then returns the boxes to the drawer, covering them with clothes. Holding out his perfumed hands, he goes to the kitchen. At the sink, he runs the tap and scrubs his hands with soap. Earl leans in through a porch window holding a teddy bear.
This looks like you, Jeremiah. We want it.
May comes in.
Stop clowning.
Jerry stares at May, then dries his hands and manages a smile.
I was going to sleep, but it's too hot.
You didn't miss a thing. What's that I smell? Is that perfume?
Millions of flowers.
That's my perfume.
I was looking for some socks from the morning. I seen the bottle. I didn't know what it was.
Did Gloria wake up?
No.
Did you give her the bottle?
Yes.
Did she take it off?
Yes.
May glances at Earl.
What else did you find in that drawer?
In the drawer? Nothing.
May heads for the bedroom. Earl watches her go, then turns back and meets Jerry's nervous gaze. Jerry picks up the alarm clock and turns a knob on the back. Earl grins as Jerry fumbles with the clock. Gritting his teeth, Jerry shakes it and bangs it with his hand. May appears, holding the large lidded box.
I see you opened this, too.
Why not? It's my wife's.
Only that you're acting so peculiar.
Where'd you get them?
Where do you get things like this? You buy them.
What is it?
They must have cost $20 a piece, that silk.
Oh, you never could tell the difference between silk and rayon.
And hiding them like that in the bottom of a drawer.
Not Jeremiah.
Don't call me Jeremiah. They look like silk to me.
And if they are?
Where'd you get them?
The man in the moon, he dropped them down for me.
What's so funny, Earl? Maybe it's funny to you I'm supposed to look like a teddy bear?
Hey, maybe you think I bought them nightgowns.
How'd you know they were nightgowns?
Earl's smile disappears.
Well, you said nightgowns.
No, I didn't.
Silks, rayons, I figured you meant nightgowns.
And that perfume. What about that? You think I'm blind? I don't see anything. Well, I see everything.
Ease it off, Jerry. You'll blow a valve.
Don't talk to me like that.
All right, nightgowns and a bottle of fancy water. What's all the uproar? Sure, I bought them for May. A gift. You want to twist my head off just because I bought May a little gift?
Jerry steps closer, his eyes wide and glaring.
If it's a gift, why'd she hide them?
Hide them? You found them, didn't you? Easy. She just put them away.
Oh, stop it. I'm sick of lying. Tell him the truth.
May!
Wash my face, May. Comb my hair, May. Be my cook, nurse, accountant, bottle washer. I didn't go to the amusement park. I was with Earl all afternoon.
Jerry lunges at her.
Jerry!
He shoves Earl away.
I could hurt you real bad if I put my hands on you.
He turns to his wife.
Why, May? Tell me why I love you. The ground you walk on.
I tried, Jerry. God forgive me, I tried.
Was I a bad husband? Did I say, May, don't do this, don't do that?
No.
Did I go out and gamble? Did I get drunk? Did I ever eat and you went hungry?
No.
Well, why, May? My head's busted. What did I understand?
I've nothing to blame you for. It's me, something in me. A year. Was a year that long? You say to yourself, wait, be patient. Things will change. You'll feel different. No good. Nothing changes. The days go by. Down to the grocery store, back to the house. Hang out the wash, take the dishes out of the closet, go to bed, wake up, wait. Shut your mouth, close your eyes. This is the man you've married. This is the life you've made. Expect nothing, hope for nothing. And every day a little older, a little duller, a little stupider.
Cherry turns away.
Love is superstition. Hope, forget it. Forget how to laugh. Forget how to cry. Tell yourself that's how everybody else lives. Why should you be any different? Without love, there's nothing.
Jerry cries.
And tears. What good are tears?
And I said, come visit us. I asked you here. You!
Jerry!
He raises the alarm clock to strike, then tries to shut it off. Trembling, he slams it onto the floor. He steps toward May and Earl.
But are you animals? In a zoo, they keep them in a cage. They keep them apart. They keep them from hurting people. They... animals.
storms out and runs down the stairs. In the sky, a layer of clouds obscures the bright moon. Daytime. Bright, billowy clouds blow across the sky. Seagulls hover on a current of wind. On the shore, May and Earl lounge on a rock.
What are we going to do, May? We're getting nowhere fast.
I won't leave until I hear from Jerry. Do you expect me to throw him away like a stone?
Yes.
How hard-boiled we are.
There isn't any other way.
Listen to me.
Listen to me. Don't make me sorry for him. If I'm sorry for him, I can't be sorry for us. And we'll both be sorry love was ever invented.
He didn't come back last night.
Regrets?
For us? No.
This is my last shot at happiness.
She hands him a lit cigarette.
And mine. And the baby?
Take Gloria with you.
It's his child, too.
All right, leave her there. Can you? What would Jerry do with a kid? He can't take care of himself.
Oh, Earl, we're taking everything away from him.
Show me another way to do it.
I can't.
Love him or love me. You can't save us both. Somebody's throat has to be cut. If you can do it, cut mine. Leave me. Call it quits here and now.
That night.
You want to hide? Sneak away? Leave messages with bellboys? Baby, we have to. Love is rotten when it happens like this, the hard way. But if we want each other, this is the fire we have to walk through, because this is forever, May.
She searches his eyes.
Forever?
Or until he sticks a knife in me, or you walk out.
How could I walk out?
And do the next thing. Get away from here. If you have a dream, live it. If you have a hope, chase it.
Not until I hear from Jerry. That's the least I can do.
Earl grins.
You win.
He massages her shoulders.
Where did you get those blue eyes?
He draws her into a strong kiss. Nighttime. At the house, Jerry paces across the enclosed porch and looks at his watch. Moonlight filters in through bamboo window blinds. Going to one end of the porch, Jerry opens a pair of windows and looks at the sandy yard below. May strides toward the house wearing a skirt and a white blouse, knotted just above her waist. Jerry frowns and goes through the kitchen, meeting her as she reaches the top of the interior stairs.
May.
Jerry.
I want to talk to you. Come here, please.
You look exhausted.
Sit down. Please.
May's shoulders drop and she sits at the kitchen table. Jerry stands beside her, struggling to form words.
What I want to say is, there's the past. There's the past and the future. The past don't interest me if we could have a future. You see what I mean? We could forget about the past. A child don't grow up right without a family. Ain't that so?
Yes.
You see what I mean? May Gloria deserves a happy childhood, don't she?
Yes, she does.
Well, May, you won't be sorry. Believe me, I'll bury the past.
Jerry, don't go on talking like that. It won't help.
Why won't it help?
I know how you feel, Jerry. Everybody is lonely, lost. Don't think I'm heartless. I'd give an arm to take back the grief I've caused you, but I can't help you now. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Jerry grabs her arm.
With him?
Yes.
You love him?
May nods gently.
I have to get dressed.
Jerry starts to follow, but she shuts the bedroom door. His shoulders sag and he turns slowly. Going to the sink, he pours water into a glass and downs it in one gulp. With a distant gaze, he wipes his hand across his mouth and paces to the kitchen table. His hands tighten into fists, then uncurl. He strides toward the bedroom, hesitates for a moment, then swings open the door. Inside, May wears a skirt and a camisole.
May.
Yes, Jerry.
She sits wearily on the seat at her vanity table, then leans forward and stares at her hands. Standing near the door, Jerry watches her and fidgets nervously.
I was thinking I might sell the boat.
He steps closer.
She's a pretty good boat. I could get good money for her.
Yes, you could.
Sure, why not? Sell her. Go away.
He watches his wife expectantly. May draws a deep breath, then looks up at him with a troubled gaze. As she gets up from the vanity, Jerry clutches her shoulders.
May, I love you. Don't you understand? I love
Jerry,
you.
Jerry, let go of me. You're hurting me.
May, you're my wife.
I don't want to make you any unhappier. Please give me that much credit.
I want my wife in my arms.
But I don't love you anymore. I can't. Will you try to understand?
I don't want to understand. I got as much right to make love
Jerry.
To my wife as any of you alive.
They wrestle against the wall.
Jerry, let go of me or I'll smash your face with the first thing I can lay my hands on.
She clutches her blouse in front of her chest. Jerry's wide-eyed gaze hardens.
You're no good. You're rotten.
I know, Jerry. I know. I'm leaving tomorrow.
The baby. Where does the baby go?
With me.
You think Gloria belongs to Earl, too? She's my baby, May. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. She's my
Certainly
baby.
Certainly she's yours.
My baby, mine. Now go to your lover. Get out. He's waiting for you. Go on. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out.
Jerry shakes, holding up his clenched fists. May buttons her blouse, takes her purse, and leaves. Later in the kitchen, Jerry sits hunched over the table, a glass in one hand and a bottle in the other. Behind him, Uncle Vince creeps up the stairs.
Well, the house smells all steamed up. Did you have a fight with her?
She don't love me.
Jerry, that's a lot of liverwurst, that love business. Make her see the light of day. Use the whip.
He pours a drink.
Had a bad toothache all day.
She'll go away. With Earl.
The whip. Have one, nephew.
He fills Jerry's glass.
Oh, if I only had your strength, your arms, your muscles, your hands. Don't the world belong to the strong, to them who can protect themselves? I ain't half his size, and I wouldn't take it with my own hands. Like
he wrings an imaginary neck.
Well, he'd struggle, but no mercy. No. Toss him away and let the rats nibble on him.
He only say that.
Jerry, your uncle's not a man who only says it. That heartless man connives at blowhard Pfeiffer, and the innocent pays the good of heart. Then you run yourself down with remorse, can't sleep, can't bite your food with cess.
Why don't God stop him? Why don't he?
That's my point. That's just my point, Jerry boy. He wants you to stop him.
How?
Two bawdy thieves stealing your happiness, toss you away like the skin of a banana, leave you here all alone with a disagreeable, squalling infant.
No, they want to take her away from me.
That's what I say. No respect for a father's feelings. Take your beautiful, lovely child away like that. And laughing at you, all the time laughing at you.
Yeah, laughing.
Shove the vinegar sponge in your mouth and laughing. Coming in the house sipping coffee out of the cup you give him. Coming in the house like a true friend and laughing.
Laughing?
Yeah, laughing.
At me?
Yeah, at you.
At me?
Yeah, that's right.
I can't stand it.
Batter his brains out.
Jerry springs up and runs down the stairs.
Batter his brains out!
At Joe's house, Peggy folds clothes for May as she packs a suitcase. Joe appears in the bedroom doorway.
You went away. Why didn't you stay away? Why'd you marry Jerry?
Don't you ever make a mistake.
Jerry wasn't smart enough. He wasn't enough of a man. How much of a woman do you think you are?
What's the point of discussing that now? It's too late.
You don't have the right to judge her.
Don't I? Now she's got you thinking like her. That little head's starting to buzz, too.
Don't talk to me like that.
The world, it ain't big enough. Your life, it ain't interesting enough. That's the way she thinks.
We're two different people.
Different is right.
Thanks for everything, Peggy.
They share a hug, then walk to the door with their arms around each other. Peggy stops.
May, where are you going?
To Earl. I'll write you where to send the rest of my things.
She gazes at Joe, then leaves. Peggy stares after her.
Maybe you'd like to go with her.
Maybe.
That ring on your finger. What'd you put it there for? A decoration?
She has a right to do what she wants to if she's in love.
In love. Listen to me, Blondie. The woman I married, she don't take me on a wait-and-see basis. I ain't a dress she's bringing home from the store to see if it fits, and if it don't back, it goes. In my book, marriage is a two-way proposition. You're just as much responsible as I am. So that little eye is going to roam. If what you think is Joe's all right until something better comes along, honey, you better take another streetcar.
She gazes at him with large, wet eyes.
Now, what's it gonna be?
She springs into his arms and buries her face against his chest. Joe rubs his cheek against her curly hair and smiles. At the movie theater, Earl stands in the cramped projection booth, peering through a small window. He pulls a lever on the projector, and the lens emits a beam of light. He steps to another projector and shuts it off.
May?
He turns, beaming. Jerry stands at the door, staring at him with wide eyes. Earl's gaze hardens.
What are you doing here?
I want to talk to you.
There's no place to talk to me.
All night I've been thinking. You'll go away. Live in another town. You, May, Gloria. I won't have nothing.
Stay where you are.
I won't have nothing left. Nothing. That ain't right, is it, Earl?
Now, you listen to me.
He always thought I was dumb. He could tell me anything, and I believe it. Well, I'm not listening.
Well, I love May, and May loves me, and you can't change it. No law can change it. Now, get out of here.
You used to imitate Chinese, Earl. Let me see your Chinese imitation.
Earl picks up a wrench. Jerry grabs his arm and wrestles with him, pressing him against one of the projectors. Earl breaks free and raises the wrench high. Jerry clenches his wrist, twisting it until the wrench drops from his hand. Earl pushes Jerry away, but he lunges back and clamps his hands around Earl's neck. Pressing his thumbs into Earl's throat, Jerry holds him against the projector. Earl falls to his knees, straining to breathe.
Jerry!
May tries to pull Jerry off.
Jerry! Stop! You're killing him!
He knocks her away.
Stop it!
She slams against the other projector. Jerry freezes, gaping at her. May rubs her arm. Jerry releases Earl, his face glistening with sweat. In a daze, Jerry paces slowly past her and out the door. Earl struggles to his feet before May, his silky black shirt open at the neck. She gazes hard at him. Later, on a dark street, a sleek car passes a factory building. Earl pulls the car over to the curb and May steps out.
You wait in the car.
She runs across the street to Jerry's house. On the second floor, a light glows in one window. Climbing the stairs, May turns on the kitchen light. She looks around, then steps to the bedroom and carefully opens the door. The room is dark.
Jerry.
May strides into the room and turns on the bedside lamp. The bed is empty and neatly made. She goes around the bed to the bassinet, reaching out her arms, then stops short. It's empty. A worried frown creases her forehead, and she rushes out of the room.
Jerry!
She runs to the porch.
Jerry!
As she hurries back down the hallway, Papa steps out of his room.
Where's Jerry? Where's Gloria?
Jerry, he come home. It's his baby, Gloria. He take her.
What are you talking about? Where did he take her?
He take her away. He come home, Jerry. Never I see him look like that.
What did he say?
I almost kill somebody, he says. Never in his life he hurt somebody, my Jerry. It's not your house anymore. It's not your baby.
May's eyes glisten. Running into the kitchen, she slides open a window.
Earl! Earl!
Earl steps out of the car and runs toward the house. Inside, Papa stands scowling as Earl hurries up the stairs.
What's the matter, man?
Earl, he took her.
What?
He took Gloria.
Oh, where'd he take her?
I don't know.
It's all your fault. You are no good. Vienin casa mia fare tradimento.
Okay, Pop, cut the Latin. Where'd he take the kid?
Someplace, who knows? Maybe on the boat. Where are you going?
The boat.
Come here. What good will going to the boat do? There's nothing to worry about. He's not going to knock himself off or hurt Gloria.
What am I going to do, Earl?
Don't you see, May? It's a club. First he tries strangling me, and then he takes the kid. That's just to scare you. You know he thinks more of that kid than his own right arm.
That kid? She's my child, too.
Honey, I know what Gloria means to you. The world wrapped up in a cotton blanket.
I can't leave her.
You won't leave her. Just give Jerry time to cool off. He'll let you have her. What's he gonna do with a baby? And if he doesn't, we'll go to court. You're the mother.
Am I?
What is it? You feel guilty? That's the way they want you to feel.
They?
The world. All the people who haven't got guts enough to do what they want to do. Listen, May. You walk out of this house now, and we're free.
She looks away.
Just the two of us?
Just the two of us.
All my life I've walked away from things.
Then what's stopping you now? Responsibility? I'll spell it for you. T-R-A-P.
May stares at him, clear-eyed.
You don't want the baby with us, do you, Earl? Not really.
I didn't say that.
The baby would be a burden, wouldn't it? A drag.
All I said was go away for a while without her.
May gazes into the living room.
Listen, May. Don't make no mistake about kids. They grow up. They have their own lives to lead. They'll walk out on you.
Don't we owe a child some happiness?
It isn't a question of the kid's happiness. It's a question of yours.
And Jerry's.
I told you, somebody's throat has to be cut.
But it's never ours, is it, Earl? It's always someone else's. Why?
Because they're soft.
And we're tough, we're hard. If someone suffers because of us, that's just too bad. That's the way life is. How many times have I told myself that? Nothing counted but me, my disappointments, my unhappiness. I married Jerry, moved into his house, used his money, and had his child, and yet... Yet I was never his wife. You're someone's wife when you belong to them. I never belonged to anybody.
Never?
May turns from his smile.
I thought I was being honest. I thought I wasn't lying, but I was. I said to the world, this is what I am. Take me or leave me. So that it was always on my terms they had to accept me. But it was a trick. Don't you see, Earl? It was a trick to avoid the responsibility of belonging to someone.
What are you giving me? An hour ago, you were in love.
I don't know what the word means anymore. Not the way we use it.
You knew yesterday. On the beach.
Love because we're lonely. Love because we're frightened. Love because we're bored.
What was it with me? Boredom? The lady of the house needed a little entertainment. Go ahead, say it. I can take it. You went off on a toot. May, you've got the shakes. You're trying to back out, and there isn't any place to back out to. Crawl back to Jerry. How long will it last? 1 month. 2 months. Then the old music in the jukebox will start all over again.
Teary-eyed, May shakes her head.
Oh, sure it will.
duties, obligations, responsibilities. Out the window they'll go. And you'll be wanting me again. Or somebody like me.
No, I won't.
A chump, that's what you played me for.
He grips her shoulders and rattles her.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it?
May gazes steadily into his eyes.
Believe what you want.
I sure can pick him, can I? I'm real lucky with women. Mrs. D, with the blue, blue eyes.
He paces away, shoving his hands into his pockets, then turns.
Well, what are you waiting for? Jerry's got the kid. That's the combination you want, ain't it? But what if Jeremiah don't feel forgiving? What if he says, beat it, Dust?
That's the chance I'll have to take.
Oh, sure. But you figure Earl, he'll wait. I got news, honey. The minute I'm out of this house, I'm gone.
I know.
She heads for the stairs. Earl stops her.
You may lose both of us. Are you willing to gamble for stakes like that?
I have to.
Later in the harbor, May climbs aboard Jerry's boat. On deck, Joe turns to watch as she steps into the cabin. Inside, Jerry stands in the galley. He looks up from the stove and stares at May. Putting the lid on a coffee pot, he takes a cup from a rack on the ceiling.
What do you want?
May gazes at him, her eyes glistening. Jerry pours his coffee.
You ain't gonna get glory if that's what you came here for. You ain't, and Earl ain't.
That isn't what I came for.
And what do you want, to rip me up again? I almost killed Earl, ain't that enough? Don't stand there. There ain't nothing to wait for and nothing to say.
Jerry, I know I can't change what I did, but won't you let me try to tell you that I
don't want to listen to nothing, May. I got a boat to worry about, a living to make, and a kid to raise.
Is she all right?
She's asleep. What I couldn't get through my thick head is that you never loved me. Being safe, being taken care of, that's all you wanted. My mistake was saying, all right, yeah. That's the way she loves me. That's the way I'll take it.
But people change. You find out what's important and what isn't. What you really want.
Earl's what you really want. You said so.
No. No, he isn't. Maybe I thought so, but he isn't.
I trusted you. That's what sticks in my craw. You made nothing out of me. I wasn't your husband. I was nothing. Am I supposed to forget that?
He turns his back and paces away.
Can't you? No matter what I did, how I tried to make up for it, you'd never forget?
Forget what? Living in my house, loving another man?
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe certain things are unforgivable.
She turns and heads for the door. Jerry glares after her.
You ain't fooling me again, May, are you?
She stops.
You ain't trying to come back because there ain't no place else to go.
Jerry,
Don't say anything. Don't make no promises.
His gaze drops.
I'd have to trust you. That's what the terrible thing is. You gotta trust somebody. There ain't no other way. Go get Gloria. She's inside. The boat ain't no place for a baby.
May starts to speak.
Go take your child home.
Jerry smiles gently. With a dreamy gaze, May walks toward the other room. At the open door, she turns to Jerry, beaming, then steps through. Words appear over a view of a fishing boat. The End. Wald Krasner Productions, Incorporated. RKO Radio Pictures.